To the there we go. Well, welcome to the Repos non-league roundup show, and of course we're here for the next hour. And of course, joining me as usual, of course, is the one and only, the living legend himself, Mr. Keith McMahon. So, how are we, mate?
Yeah, I'm not bad, Dave. Obviously, I think you might have to get rid of the word legend after this week to get us another CV goes in the bin. But yeah, no, I'm all right, mate.
And we're also joined by a young man that we got to meet for the first time, and at the Football Content Awards. And of course, he's got his own channel on YouTube and other areas on social media. Of course, in Thomas, in the football, I've got to try and get it right now. The Football Stadium Show,
Yeah, that's about right.
as well, and travels left from Brentford and goes to different stadiums and stuff. And it's fantastic coverage if you get to see it. And in really did impress, of course, the man from Mousel. So, in Kevin, how did you find Kevin, Tom?
Yeah, he's great, honestly. I mean, when I first went down there to Mousel, he was fantastic help. I remember it was about a week before we were going down, and I was trying to get a video ready. And I was contacting them, email, trying to phone them. And then the last minute, I think it was on the day of the match, I managed to get through to him on Facebook. And yeah, he was a great help on the day and still been a great help now.
Good, good, good. So, Keith, I mean, this week before we go with Tom, and of course, we've actually just texted Tommy as well. But good week for you, other than the CV in the bin.
Yeah, so I Dave, obviously, boys are playing. I went over and watched Phoenix on Saturday get a really good result against Sevenoaks, which they needed. Met up with some friends. Obviously, Tom was one. We had a good chat and a bit of a festive drink as it's that time of year now. But yeah, no, all okay, mate.
I mean, that was a great win though for Phoenix at the weekend. I mean, not many games being played at the weekend, but Phoenix game on and against a really good Sevenoaks side. I mean, it's a great result.
It is, Dave, and I'm going to say I looked at the obviously Eastern and South East, and there's two games on them, and obviously the Sheppey game, and Phoenix don't get games called off at their ground, and people go, oh, what is it? Listen, it does drain well, but they want games on. I think there's a lot of clubs out there now that are quite happy to get games called off.
Yeah.
So that fair play to them all there. They work hard to try and get it on, and they got the reward Sunday. They played really well. It's they scored a couple of good. The skipper Ryan Hayes scored an absolute screamer at putting 1-0 up from about 40 yards. And Sevenoaks had their chances first half, but no, they thoroughly deserved it, especially second half. And big 3 points they needed, and it puts a bit more pressure on teams around them now. So yeah, a couple more wins. They've got they've got Ashford Saturday that. That's the you know that they're a team that for some reason they seem to beat quite regularly. So if they can get another 3 points, they'll be in a really good position going into Christmas.
I mean, Tom, have you been down to Phoenix Sports?
I haven't been to Phoenix Sports, although I've heard a lot about them. There's a lot of clubs, obviously, I still want to go to, need to go to, but it's one on the list.
Definitely one for you to go to, mate. It's a fantastic club, and you'll be made really, really welcome as well, going down there. But I mean, Tom, I suppose with yourself, I mean, how did your sort of channel all come about in the first place? Because I mean, I've watched, the content and stuff, and it's well up there with the Mousel content and a lot of other people on there as well.
Thank you. I've always loved being online in terms of posting content, making stuff, and somehow it started out as a channel where I used to make origami. It transformed, went a bit all over the place. I eventually settled on Arsenal, with an Arsenal channel that got up to about 5,000 subscribers. I ended that when things weren't going too well around 2020, and decided to focus on something a bit more positive. With this, the Football Stadium Show, which was launched in 2021, I started going around loads of different smaller clubs, working my way up. Although I still love non-league, I think it's one of the best, areas of football, if not the best. The first team I went to was actually Wellingarden City, and they have got a great setup there. It was when Nicky Ionton was their manager a few years ago. I went down there the first week I'd sort of moved to this channel. I managed to get an interview with him, and that was all what really kicked it off. And now, of course, I'm going around the country to make different videos every week.
Good supportive dad as well, dad and mum. I mean, your
Yes.
dad round there with you tasting the food.
Yeah, the taxi driver, the food reviewer, he's
So,
been fantastic.
How many grand you gone to, Tom?
I think it's getting close to 50 now. So, I mean, the Emirates Stadium, of course, being an Arsenal fan, is where I am most weeks. But whenever we're not at home, or if I can't get a ticket, then I'll be somewhere around the country, somewhere else, trying to make a video. So yeah, it's been a lot of time spent doing it, but it's been worth it.
And what was it like when you got that, the news through that you'd been, you'd been nominated for the award at the Football Content Awards? I mean, what did that feel like when you got that nomination through?
I remember when I got the email, actually. I was coming home from Arsenal v PSV, and I was on the train platform, and I was just going through my phone. All of a sudden, this email came up from them saying that I'd managed to make it through to the final somehow, which was an incredible feeling. I mean, I've tried it last year, 2022, and the year before that, but this was the first time I got through to the final. And all of a sudden, since then, it's been sort of, how are we going to get to Liverpool? Oh, we need to buy suits. Oh, we need to sort out the travel. But, just to be there in the first place, obviously, I didn't win at all, but just to be there, it was an incredible feeling. And of course, I'm so thankful to everyone who did vote.
Absolutely. And when you see some of your content, I mean, young man as well. I mean, I don't know, bit of a weird evening. I think it was probably, if we leave it there, I suppose. But it was, when you see the content that you put in, I thought you deserved to win it. And, we were in the same content. One of my shows is in the same content as yours. So, but for me, I thought when you saw it there, it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people who were there, I mean, of course, Robbie, who was the winner, fantastic channel, bunch of amateurs. For me, that's who I thought was going to win it. I
Nodded.
remember meeting Rich last year or the season before when Dorking was still in the National South, and the work that they've put in to not just promote their channel but to promote Dorking as well. They've gained Dorking a lot of fans too. So yeah, I mean, a lot of great channels there, and again, just to be in and amongst those types of people was great.
Well, Tom, just talking about Dorking, as the man's just come on. We was talking about this the other week, Mr. Warrilow. Nice to see you.
Evening,
And
boys. Go on.
if you've watched the Dorking documentary, they mentioned Tom. I don't know if you see that. Have you seen it, Dave?
I haven't, no, I'll be honest.
Tom,
Just
do you
thought.
want to, would you like to tell the story?
I haven't seen it, to be fair. And it was only obviously Boyley come up, the Phoenix manager, before the game, and just said that I was on it because one of my old goalies, Lee Morgan, obviously joined him later on in his career. And apparently, he mentioned, obviously, he played for me at Tunbridge Angels, and apparently, I put him on a peg in the changing room. He must have already done something wrong. So I don't remember it, to be honest. I'm going to declare old age creeping in. I don't remember that. So I've not seen it. It's just if Boyley hadn't have told me, I wouldn't have known.
But what's the story true is what we all want
I
to
doubt it. I doubt it. It's a long time ago, so I wouldn't be able to do it now. I know that.
bit cloudy, you can't remember. But
Yeah.
I mean, with it though, Tom, and what has been your favourite ground, I suppose, so far that you've visited and that you've been to? I mean, where is the one that you've looked at and gone back maybe in the car on the way home saying, that was your number one?
I
There's
think
two
when you
Toms
go,
here. Look, it's two
sorry,
Toms. Sorry, Tom. I was talking to little. Should we say
little
little
Tom,
Tom
we
or
got little
big Tom?
Tom,
Here we go,
mate.
little Tom. Sorry, little Tom.
Sorry.
Go on, Tom.
Favorite ground? It's a difficult question. There's a few honourable mentions up there. Leatherhead is one I really enjoyed going to. A very old-fashioned ground. Another one similar to that was Braintree as well. There's another, lots of standing terraces, things like that there. Mousel as well, the work that they've put into their ground over the past few years, that's been crazy how much they've managed to level that up recently. Favourite, Bradford City, Valley Parade. I know it's not Lawn League, that was a lovely football league ground. I can't say a favourite though, honestly, there's too many to count.
So the other Tom then, come on in, because he mentioned Leverhead, you've been there.
Yeah, that was my first toe in the water as a player manager there. Again, God, 20 odd years ago now. But there's so I think once you progress upwards and going in the Conference South, I mean, you start to appreciate the levels and how things change. There's quite a few grounds at that Conference South level that was very impressive. But again, back in the day, there was always, remember Rushden and Diamonds when they first off with the Dr. Martins fella. But all the grounds now, even obviously at the highest level and the low, the lowest, you go down, every ground's improved so much now. It's a credit to all the clubs that can manage to sort of sustain the levels that the leagues demand now for standards. There's not many nice, again, used to play and there was some real rough and ready grounds and pitches, and now it's very rare. You go and see them facilities or the pitches.
I mean,
I tell them what, go on, Dave.
I was going to say, Keith, what's your favourite?
There was always one that I knew was decent when I walked into it, and you come out the changing room, you just turn and see the stand was Farnborough. Because the stand they've got there behind the goal. And whatever you, it was, you sat there and went, "Whoa!" When you were managing it, it's an unbelievable sort of stand they've got there. But yeah, there's a few you can go around, and like Tom said, I've played at an absolute and managed some absolute tips as well. You walk in and go, "Oh my God!" But nowadays, like you said, the people have done their grounds up so well that you don't have that anymore. And when you used to go to some away grounds, you used to sit and think, "Oh, it's a struggle here." But now, the services are decent, and it's quite a level playing field.
I mean, for me, I think it, just through doing that sort of Summer League goal show, and I've never been there, but it looks like one of those sort of really iconic grounds is Dorchester Town, because you sit there like that, and of course you see that their sort of video platform is quite high up, so you get to see the pitch, and every time it goes swings to the left hand side goal, as I think I've said before, right behind the back of the goal was a KFC and a Tesco's. So as they swing around like that, you can actually see literally the other side of the stand is a KFC and a Tesco's there. But I suppose main ground, especially a ground that I've been into that had the biggest effect on me, without a shadow of a doubt, was an empty. I was on a tour, but it was an empty Liverpool Football Club. That ground is just, and I don't know why. I don't know if, I'm not 100% sure why it was, but you walked out the actual director's box into that director's box, and I had goosebumps and just walking into it, and you just think the atmosphere sort of gripped you like that when it was completely empty. God knows what it must be like on a, Tuesday or a Wednesday night in a Champions League European game when it's full, it's completely full. It must be unbelievable.
No, you can see that. When everybody speaks about Anfield like that, but just going forward a little bit, I'll tell you what, Dave. The one thing that has shocked me is when and Tom's obviously, his last club had it as well. Is that how many grounds now look really good that have got the 3G? I know Harlow was one of the first, Dave, until obviously their 3G went belly up. But when I went to Ramsgate the other week, and Tom will tell you that Ramsgate's pitch was mostly one of the biggest pitches. A glass pitch there was, but now they've made it 3G and they've altered it, and they've done such a great job. Sheppey have done the same, and obviously I don't know if Tom's obviously gone back to Ashford since they relaid theirs, but obviously that was a proper ground as well. But some of them now look, years ago with the old 3G, you sat there and thought, "Oh, that looks a bit out of place here," but now they actually look a proper stadium.
I was at oh sorry,
Oh, Tom, now go on. Go on.
I was at Newmarket Town the other day, and I think they were doing a test for the first pitch made out of cork instead of the rubber bits. And they passed all the FIFA inspections and everything. So I don't know if it was a more expensive or cheaper option, but there's certainly a lot of ways that clubs are getting around having artificial pitches.
And I think it's getting more and more, isn't it? I mean, as you go through, I think more and more teams now seem to be having artificial pitches. But I mean, the one team that we should add that has got an artificial pitch, and we should say a massive congratulations because they've got an incredible tie today. And of course, that's Lee Allison's Hendon, who have been drawn away to Oldham in the next round of the FA Trophy. I mean, that's going to be some game for them, isn't it?
Yeah, be a great experience for Munich over there.
He's done really well there, Lee. He's took I mean Hendon again, that's again one of the places that wasn't the nicest place to go and with the pitches and that, but now if it's 3G, and as you say, it's a level playing field. And it is, you know, it's just a shame that it seems a bit mad that if you get into the Football League, you have to tear it all up and put grass down. Because obviously, if you're progressing through, it is a revenue for income, and it massively helps the football clubs. But to creep into the Football League and have to sort of tear it all up and go back to grass, seems
It's
a bit of a.
ridiculous that, Tom, isn't it? Because you can play in the FA Cup again, like Man United can come and play, you know, if they're on it. They're playing the Champions League on it, but you can't play in a Football League. It just doesn't make much sense.
No, it's again, it's just one of the obviously a rule that needs change looking at again, but obviously the amount of rules that are being changed now in football, it's, you know, the common for me, the common sense side of things seems to go out of it. But to get a club to tear it all up for doing well, and the only plus, as we all know, with the 3G is very, very rare. You know, you're going to get up every morning and prepare for a game knowing it's 99.9% chance of being on. It's very rare it's going to get postponed. It's 9 times out of 10 because of the health and safety for the crowd, if it's frosty or slippery or whatever. But it's very rare it's the pitch. So it's one of them, again, one of them rules that seems a little bit, I don't know why. It's, I don't know why anyone actually says, well, why have we got to tear it up? Is there an actual reason?
Well, we're just talking about the draw. The draw, if anybody hasn't heard it, Bishop Stortford versus Aldershot, Hive Town or Whitehall versus Chorley, Rochdale or Gateshead versus Weston Super-Mare or Woking, Welling United versus Chesterfield, Hereford versus Torquay, Hartlepool versus Hampton and Richmond Borough, Bath City versus Walsall Wood or Colville Town, Solihull Moors versus Nappewich Town, Kidderminster Harriers versus FC Halifax or Altrincham, Macclesfield versus Dorking Wanderers, Averley versus AFC Flying, Oldham versus Hendon, Chelmsford City versus Willstone or Billericay, Radcliffe or Redditch United versus Barnet, Horsham versus Peterborough Sports, and Bromley versus Chippenham Town.
Some big teams in there.
Tom, little Tom, fancy any of them for your next episode on your channel? If Arsenal are not playing at home, of course.
Yeah, the Barnet game sounds right. I mean, Barnet, I guess, is my second team because I live in Barnet. And hopefully a good distraction. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the FA Cup as well tomorrow. We got a replay against Newport County, so some big games coming up in the cup for Barnet.
Some good ties there, Dave. Welling going to Chesterfield's going to be tough for them, but it'd be a good experience as well. And obviously the winner out of Hive or Whitehawk, you know, that's a winnable game for them as well, being at home.
Being
I
at
think the
home.
one.
Yeah, I think the one that stood out for me as well, other than of course the Oldham game, you know, looking at that was, and I've lost it now, Macclesfield against Dorking Wanderers. I mean, that could be a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a character, Mark, and he's done fantastically over there. And also, you had, I think I was right in saying, there's a possibility of a massive Essex derby with Chelmsford Billericay, if Billericay win their game. So again, that'll be a big game over in Essex. So yeah, it's nice to see some of the teams like Horsham and Hive and all that still win it. With like, you forget, I mean, that league's so crazy now. When you reel off the teams that are in the National League now, like Chesterfields and all that, it's just a massive league now.
Yeah, it is like a full-time league anyway, and it's on there
Yeah,
for the
Matt.
continental program.
Definitely, definitely.
So Tom, a bit like I won't say this too loudly because it's not great, but I mean, a bit like the man to your left on my screen, of course, looking for that next job. I mean, anything up that you got in the pipeline that you're looking at?
No, it was only really the last week or so that I decided to sort of, you know, listen, I've done an interview with the local people, and for the first time ever since I was 16, I actually, you know, I come out for the right reasons to sort things out away from football, setting up a new supplement company with my son, and just decided to put myself into that 100% and just take a break and actually look at things from a different point of view. And listen, I'm a football man. It's very hard to go and watch games when you're a manager because obviously, you know, you get the inevitable questions and remarks. So I didn't even really go and look at any games. If I do, I'd normally go somewhere where all my mates are. But No, I'm sort of open to anything that's a project, and something I can get my teeth stuck into. But at the moment, there's nothing really out there that, well, I don't know. There's any jobs out there at the moment that are available, to be honest. To be honest, I mean, in Kent there was three up 2 weeks ago, but all three have gone. But like I said, from a personal point of view, if I do go back in, I'm in 100%. And there was a few things that I just had to make sure that was all addressed and sorted out, and now we'll just have to play the waiting game.
A controversial question for both of you. I mean, I could see it in Keith's face, most of the time when we talk about it, but how frustrating is it when you just see jobs come up, no reply back from anybody in any way, shape, or form, and then all of a sudden a name comes out of the hat and you think, what, again? Do you know what I mean? Why don't you try somebody different for a change? Why is it the same sort of three or four managers every single time that sort of get any jobs that come open? I mean, is that a frustration to you, Tommy and Keith, I suppose, as well?
For me personally, not really. I think sometimes when jobs do come up, football's a small world, and 9 times out of 10, things might have been sorted out already. I mean, two of the jobs that have come up in Kent have been sorted out internally, with Dover and Folkestone. You understand that. The Margate one, to be honest, didn't see that one coming, but Stimmo's gone in over there, and it's a change from the Kent, the Kent scene. He's coming into Kent now from Essex. So it's just surprising for me. It's surprising the names that go for some of these jobs, because you wouldn't dream when someone's announced, you wouldn't dream they'd be going looking to get in at that level. But people want to cut their teeth in management. People just want to get back into management, so they're in football to push out. So again, you just don't take nothing for granted. If you've come out of it, you can't be under the assumption that I'll get back in straight away, because it's you can be out a long time. You've just got to have trust and faith in your own ability. And like I said last week, I'm a great believer in, I think whatever will be, if it's meant to be, it'll meant to be. But from my point of view, I'm never ever going to fault anything. I'm not desperate to get back into it. I'm passionate about my football, and I love it to bits. But I want it to be right for everyone, not just me. But like I said, you can't be egotistical to think, yeah, no, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I don't want that one. The reason I've not gone chasing things or looking for stuff is, as I explained earlier, was from a personal point of view. But now, like I said, you could be out for a week, you could be out for a season. You just don't know.
We've had a text come in. Someone's come in. I won't say who's put it in, but somebody watches the show quite regularly, says on it, "Hope Stimmo knows what he's let himself in for." Is what's come through.
Think that's any manager that goes into to a job, 9 times out of 10 you go in there because something's not right. You don't go in and get a normal job because everything's rosy in the garden. So yeah, I mean, listen, we're all Kent boys here, so we probably know and hear a lot more of what's going on behind the scenes. And unfortunately, when clubs go through bad times, the most important thing is to get the club back as a club and get the fans back on board, and then get the results. I know you're a manager and it's about the results, but you've got to make sure the club doesn't get blown to pieces. You need to get that connection back with the fans, and you find out more about people when it's not going right than when you are winning things. So you just got to get everyone back enjoying it, and then that really eliminates a little bit of pressure off of the players on the pitch as well. And then hopefully results come with it, and you get the club back, because it's about the club.
Well, if there's anybody out there listening that can actually sort of clarify what's the same person sent me through as well, it'd be interesting to find out if this is actually the truth or it is a bit of a wind up. But the things come through saying, "I believe that Dorchester's ground was partially designed by King Charles when he was Prince Charles. Not a wind up, but true as I understand it." So if there's anybody out there that knows, and if there's anybody watching from Dorchester, it'd be interesting to find out. If that's the case, but be very, very interesting, I suppose, if that was the case. But Little Tom, I mean, is there anybody in sort of non-league football that you've seen in at clubs or that maybe on a director of the club or whatever else that you're sort of desperate to get hold of to try and sort of get down to that ground maybe to go and see them?
Any names in particular? Not really. I mean, it's anyone who's open to just sort of letting me in and letting me look around. It's always interesting to hear what it's like. What Tom was just saying about the what football like is like from the inside. You always hear about the news stories and what fans say, but you never really hear it directly from the managers or from the people inside the clubs about what's actually going on. And so, just any teams really that will let me go inside and sort of find out the truth, find out really what's going on, and give an interesting point of view to fans who watch the videos as well. Yeah, it'd be great.
Where would you say, Keith, would be the best one to find out what's going on behind the scenes?
It's a club.
I can think of, I can think of one that comes to mind straight away.
Well, you should answer your own question. As I'm looking for a job, I mostly won't comment, Dave. Now, listen, a lot of clubs are run differently, and and Tom, me and Tom's been around for quite a while, and I think, and young Tom just said it there. Tom said about a project, and that's what interests me at clubs. Whitstable was the one that really, really took me aside with that because they said they wanted a project. Obviously, it didn't end that way in the end. But you want a club that's looking to build throughout. So I've only been at a few clubs, as I said before, and I built a project at Thamesmead and things like that. And obviously, you're looking for something that you can bring players through, that the club's got stability. There's nothing towards financially secure, I think, is the main one. I think that Tom would say that as well. If you're looking to build a team that's pushing or even just to stay in the league that they're at, you want to make sure that they're there throughout the year and you're not going up to the player saying, look, we've got issues month or so. Also plans of ambition. I think Tom would say that as well if he's looking for a club now, most probably. You don't just want to go in, say someone or the club just want you there just to get players in. I think you're looking for something that's you can actually get your teeth in for. Well, that's what I'm looking for. I think hopefully Tom may say the same yourself.
Exactly. And I'll be perfectly honest with all the clubs that I've managed. I can't turn around and say that I wasn't well backed or whatever. Obviously, rumours and budgets and that in football, everyone. I couldn't really care what anyone's got. You hear everyone's got this, everyone's got that. The only budget I've ever known is my own. And we've always had a competitive budget. Has it been the best budget? No, but it's competitive. But football's all about having a little bit of luck as well. And sometimes, if it doesn't fall your way, then it doesn't fall your way. But the clubs that I have managed, to be fair, they've given me everything, they can or not. And I've always said to all my chairman, I'll take my hat off to them because it's them that are paying the money. They're the ones that are finding the money. And whether it's 2 quid or 200 grand a week, you ask for your budget, that's what it is. And you stick to it and you run with it. And it's about the players. You've got to get the right players in. I've been lucky in that respect. But at the same time, I think you earn that bit of luck because of your relationships with the players and how you treat people. And again, I don't think it's that hard. I've always had the philosophy: you just treat people in life how you want to be treated yourself, and that's I've took that into football. I don't think it's a complicated game. Honesty is the way forward and the best way to be with someone. But unfortunately, it's that side of it seems to have changed a little bit, where everyone seems to be a little bit precious these days. But the football clubs themselves, they can't. You don't want them to implode. I played for Sittingbourne back in the day, and that, look what's happened to Sittingbourne. It's that stadium, was getting 4,000, 5,000 people down there. And now, the club's still going, which is the main thing. But for something went wrong down there, and it's sort of gone back to just out of, well, it's still in, I think it's still in Sittingbourne where they're playing. But from the ground they had and the ground they went to, you just don't want to see that happen at any level of football. So it's important that the club doesn't want to progress too much if they can't afford to sustain that level and put the club in jeopardy itself.
Tom, do you think, I'll ask you this question as well, because something else happened the other week as well on it, and I disagree, but do you think social media has made it harder for managers now? Do you think that some players, obviously, you know, I've read, you know, some players are absolutely are crucifying managers and things like that. Do you think it makes it more difficult?
Do you know what? The one thing that you've just got to have thick skin, and you've just got to be honest. If you give everything, fans, listen, social media, you know, some people put stuff on there. They're not even at the games. They just join in, and I've never been a lover of it. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm all for seeing the fans afterwards and going to the bar, and the lads stay till six. So if there's any issues, you get to know them more. But social media is just a tool that's never, ever going to go away at any level, at any sport. And you can't get wrapped up into worrying about what other people think. Otherwise, it's going to affect the way you are. The players themselves, they've got to be thick-skinned. I mean, again, I said to them, well, if you go on there, if you've lost, what do you think is going to be on there? You know, but they say they don't care, but you know your players. Sometimes they're a little bit more, you know, you try and find characters these days, and it's very hard to find them at the top level, let alone non-league. I've got great lads play for me and whatever, but the social media was never around. You just got abused playing by people on, you know, in the terraces. And that was part of it. So, social media, it, I don't think it helps. I mean, if you've got a good hiding one week, then the fans are entitled to have their little dig. But sometimes it can go too far, and that's when I think the computer police should step in and say, look, you can't say things like that. Some of it is a bit strong. But listen, managers get it more than players. If you're losing games, then the manager gets it, and that's part of your job, and you've got to be big enough and ugly enough to accept it if you go on it. And just get on with it, because I remember once we lost 4-0 at home to Tunbridge, at Tunbridge to Cray Wanderers, and I was walking off the pitch with Ian Jenkins, and I was absolutely getting bombarded. And Jenko started shouting, saying, back for me. And I said, Jenko, leave it. And I went in the change room and said to the boys, Jesus, like, that could be me done, sort of thing. Lads, what's another chat? We had a clear out, and we ended up getting promoted that year. Mm. So that's how quickly it can turn. But you can't panic. But hopefully, if you can get that time, which Tunbridge has never been a sackable club anyway. They're honest people, and we all sung from the same hymn sheet there. But things can turn around in football. And we had the chat Saturday with Boyley. You know, one win and bang, shut up, Phoenix. It looks different, and it changes the whole aura of the club. And that's the most important thing. As I was going back to earlier, you've got to try and stick together as a club, and you can't have the fans hammering everyone and then come into the game waiting for something to go wrong. You need to somehow stop that and get it back to like, you know, like Phoenix got on Saturday. You know, they got a win and bang, what a change from when you first turned up to watch the game. So the social media side is what it is, and I've never been a lover of it, even if you're winning and they're singing your praises, because there's always going to be the occasion where something goes wrong. And unfortunately, in our world today, one wants to concentrate on that little small percentage of negativity rather than all the other stuff that's pretty sensible.
Well, you just spoke about Tunbridge Rangers. I don't know if anybody's listening to Talk Sport this afternoon, but sort of a little bit of a connection with them. But Steve McKim was up for Clip of the Week this week. He was up on Clip of the Week on Hawksby and Jacobs. So that he'd said or something or other that was quite.
What, when he was at Tunbridge or?
No, when he was at Cray Valley Paper Mills, yeah. I think they asked him, I think the interviewer asked him something along the lines of, why is it called Cray Valley Paper Mills? And he basically turned around and said, I think he was something to do with being a paper mills or something to do with that sort of thing. And someone said, you know, I think it was no, you know what, Sherlock, do you know what I mean? Type thing. There was the answer back and the thing. So it was. It was quite funny. But little Tom, I mean, is there a club that you've been to that, you know, that you've been made to be really welcome? And has there been a club there that, that I'm not expecting you to say what the club was, but have you been to a club where maybe you haven't been welcomed as much as you would like to have been?
I think for the most part, clubs are really welcoming of not just me, but anyone who's like me trying to spread awareness of those teams and try and grow the amount of people that goes to games. Because, again, whether you love it or hate it, social media and being online is such a big part of football nowadays. And so most clubs are trying to get themselves online. People coming down and making videos and sharing the club online is only going to help with that. In terms of teams that have been really helpful, Enfield have been exceptional. I know you've got ties with them, and I've been there quite a few times now. I interviewed Andy Leese when he was their manager a couple of years ago. I interviewed another manager not too long ago who was there. I've spoken with the chairman, Paul Reid, multiple times. I was there the other day, like you say, for the Phoenix game. So they've always been really welcoming. They've invited me back. Another one I'd say is Wingate and Finchley. They've been really helpful.
Lovely people over there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't remember his name. It was a while ago now, but I think it was their secretary. He showed me around all the changing rooms of their nice Art Deco stand. Has anyone been really horrible? Not really. I mean, there's been a few clubs as you get higher up the pyramid, and even in the non-league pyramid, as you get closer to the top, you go there, you do the interview, and then no one else speaks to you for the rest of the day. But I guess, as it is higher to the top of the non-league pyramid, they've got more to do. They've got, well, not more to do, but they rather spend their time doing something else, I guess. So look, I mean, it's always nice going to non-league clubs. Some of the bigger ones aren't as welcoming, but I haven't had any standout ones which have not wanted me to be there.
Very diplomatic answer that, wasn't it, from such a young man?
Can I just clarify one thing before I sound hypocritical? Because the new business I've set up is all online. I'm not saying that social media is not the way forward. What I'm saying is that all the abuse that comes in is a little bit, when it goes over the top, it should be nipped in the bud.
No, like you're right. Like obviously, people, like young Tom, that well, he does on social media. Like you just said, promotes, and you're right, Tom. But it is in, it's a lot of pluses for clubs. It gets them a lot of good publicity as well, which before it never used to. But like I said, now it is a little bit sort of, sometimes it can go the other way.
I mean, we were talking just a minute ago about, stadiums and sort of quaint stadiums and stuff. But I mean, Wingate and Finchley, as little Tom brought it up, I mean, you're not going to get much of a more of a an unusual stadium than that. I mean, as you just said, you've got the Art Deco stand, and I was there once when I was kit man for Harlow, and going into those sort of dressing rooms, which really are sort of something else, aren't they? Those little dressing rooms they've got there, and then you come out of the tunnel, and you have to look left and right to make sure you don't get run over by a car going into the car park, and then you go across the road, go onto the pitch, and the pitch actually does look like one of the best 4G pitches around, isn't it? And it's grass. I mean, I've never been over there once when the pitch hasn't looked poor.
Going back years, and I think Tom ago, listen, the history of their club's huge anyway, but their pitch was always one of the best pitches around. Either was it Tottenham or Arsenal used to they used to have their play there, or the top ones or that, or they still, it would be Tottenham, wouldn't it, because of Aaron. Yeah, like I said, their pitch, I think, laid down the platform years and years ago, our football pitches should have been. But yeah, it was a lovely, lovely ground, an absolute bugger to get to from where we are. But around the North Circular, you used to sit there at that junction about a mile away, just waiting to try and get across the lights. But yeah, now a tremendous, I've got a lot of time for a lot of people over at Wingate. You're all about people being made welcome. Every time I went there, they were great.
I think the only, I don't know if you, if Big Tom and yourself have actually ever been there, but I'm assuming you have, Keith. But there's one ground that he's, for me, that he's a bit more of a pig to get to than that, and that he's got to be Concord Rangers during midweek.
Oh, we, do you know what? I can't even remember playing them on a Saturday, and it was obviously Danny was in charge, Danny Cowley. Tuesday night at Concord Rangers. Oh, you know you're in for a game of football. So
Well, it was Concord or Canvey, wasn't it? Just getting over there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Canvey with a downforce wind going down the pitch. But yeah, Concord, at least Canvey, we definitely play Canvey on a Saturday, but I can never remember playing Sunbury's Concord on a Saturday. It's always a Tuesday night.
Well, I was match day secretary. I think we was playing them in the Essex County Cup. And of course, they'd won it, I think, 2 years on the bounce, or they'd won it the previous year. And we got there, and of course, we got stuck on the traffic going off the roundabout. And it was just like, oh, it's going to be a night. It was tipping down with rain. Didn't know if the game was going to be on. Got there, turned up, and got smashed 8-1, and then had to come back home again. It's just like, thanks, Danny. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And then just go back over. That was with the team that went on to get promotion through the playoffs at Arlo with, you know, Sonko playing and all the rest of it. Absolutely, on that night, just they were just on a different level. I mean, absolutely different level. And I think they went on that year and won it again, the Essex County Cup. But it was, they were just literally...
See, when both Dannys were, obviously, you know, they built a really good side. But obviously, then Scopes, he's done a fantastic job over there as well. Before, obviously, now what he's doing at Averley is unbelievable.
Has he got to be the top manager in Essex at the minute? Or can you think of somebody better?
For what he's done...
Yeah.
For what he's done there, well, that's another Grand Thomas to go to. Averley.
Yeah, I was there last week, actually, or the week before, I think, when they played Braintree. And yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic stadium, newly built, obviously. And I was speaking to Danny Scopes, and he's a lovely guy. And I mean, if they manage to even get into the playoffs this season, an incredible achievement.
You get to have a chat with the vice chairman of the Isthmian League while you were there as well, in Craig.
No, I didn't. I think the only other person was the media guy.
Right. Okay. So, little Tom, do you recognise the gentleman that's just joined us?
Which one? The
gentleman with the glasses at the bottom of the screen.
Be careful.
No, gentlemen. I can't see anyone else who's joined.
All right. So the reason I asked that for is because you've had a trip down to Mousel. And Andrew Large is the secretary of Mousel Football Club. So he comes and joins us every week when I can finally get the Zoom to work, because it wouldn't work last week. But Andrew, I mean...
Evening.
Nice to see you, mate. How are you?
All right, thank you.
Good. So what happened at the weekend? Because 2-0 down, they get a player sent off, and I'm thinking to myself, hang on a minute, this could be good, because they're going to come back here against Bishop Cleeve, get one back, and then... I went to the pit, just came back and saw you got beat 4-1.
Yeah. We were well beaten by a very good side. No disgrace there. In fact, they were 1-0 up and had a man sent off. Not 2-0 up. They were 1-0 up. And they, I think they felt the injustice of the red card. They really turned on the momentum. They scored another goal. That was 2-0. They hit the post. We got one back before half time, and they produced a brilliant 10-man performance for the whole of the second half, which is about 55 minutes long, like they are these days. Well beaten, and food for thought. I mean, the way we look at it is, we're, as I keep on saying to you every week, we're very, very happy and feel privileged to be in the Southern League. We're learning, finding our way. We're sort of mid-table side, I suppose. At the moment, we're losing to other mid-table sides, but we've got three home games out of the next four. We're only 7 points from the playoffs. But I think the overall objective this season is consolidation in the Southern League. Yeah. So we've lost, I think, 7 out of the last 9 in all competitions. But there's no crisis. It's a learning process. Yeah.
And on that, what you just said there, Keith and Big Tom, I mean, how does that sound to you when a secretary comes out and says, we've just lost 7 out of the last 9, but it's a learning process, there's no issues? Is that something that you'd love to hear as if, you know, as managers yourselves?
For me, yeah, of course, 100%, because if you're just going into that level on that league, again, people seem to lose a bit of realism, and it's going to be tough, and there's going to be more bad days than good days, and you've got to be patient. So I think that's fantastic. That's like, it's a breath of fresh air. It's nice to hear, because again, at least the clubs together.
Yeah,
because if it goes the other way, then obviously they become bigger problems. But yeah, when you go up and up and up and up, you know, you've got to grow as a club. I always just say to my secretary, my chairman, was that when we went into the South, was the most important signing was a commercial manager. Because you've really got to grow off the pitch to move on it.
Yeah. That's what we're at. We're looking at the infrastructure as well as the on-field performance. But we've had three promotions in 5 years, and we've got to keep our feet on the ground. That's not going to continue forever just like that. There's going to be staging posts, and you've got to learn from where you are. You've got to understand, you know, in our case, we need more financial income to be able to compete and to be able to pay for our, as I say every week, our massive away travel bill, because we're only 8 miles from Land's End, and we travel up to Malvern in Worcestershire, Evesham, Bishop's Cleeve, Bemerton Heath, Salisbury, and all that. You know, it's but that's the price of progress, and we understand that, and we've got to have a strategy to deal with it over time.
So what's it? I mean, it's been a bit of a, I suppose since the last time we spoke. I mean, you've had one player out, one player in, and of course you've lost Jack Bray Evans to Plymouth Parkway, but then brought in Evander Grubb from Bristol Manor Farm. I mean, how much of a disappointment was it to lose somebody that was, you know, every time that Kevin sent me highlights, it was Jack Bray Evans putting the ball in the back of the net. I mean, so how disappointing was that to lose somebody like him?
I think he probably scored several goals of the week for you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I think he scored 15 in 17 games, and it's absolutely inevitable that someone else would come in for him, because strikers who can knock the ball in the net are probably the most valuable commodity, aren't they, at the moment? Mm. Also, Jack is, he had already said, I want to play at the highest level possible, and Plymouth Parkway are already at step three. So it makes logical sense, but he's difficult to replace, and it could well mean that that on the field we got to have a slightly different strategy rather than having that rare commodity, a big bustling striker. We may have to start thinking of other ways of penetrating defences, and that's where Evander Grubb comes in. He's very much the sort of DNA of Mousel, short passing, quick breaks, skillful, tenacious. And I think that's going to be how it's going to be for the next couple of months. We'll see.
It's a shame he didn't put get him Jack on contract and make say the release clause was £100,000. That could have solved another problem for you.
Wouldn't that have been good? Yeah, it could have paid for our. It could have topped up our crowdfunding for that new road we've got. But I think that's the way it goes. I think we always knew two things would happen as we progressed from step seven to step four. We've lost players to higher leagues because they've shown they can perform at the higher level. And if they've got ambition and they want a bigger payday, that's where they go. But likewise, because we're at step four, we're capable of drawing in players who want to play at step four, who didn't want to play at step five or step six or step seven. So it's an equal balance between you win some and you lose some. That's fine. We knew that would happen.
So Tommy Keefe, I mean, if you've got a striker like that, banging goals in like that, and then someone comes along and sort of takes him off you, how difficult is that then as a manager to cope? Okay.
As Andrew's just said there, it's just part of football, Dave. If they're not on contract, but it just goes to show, mate, as a manager, you're doing the right thing. You know, your team's successful and you're bringing them in. Tom will say the same to me. I've got no issue whatsoever of anyone going to play a high level of football.
And
I think that's a feather in your cap, and it's saying that you mostly put more on your CV than you do anything else. So it just means that, you know, you can show other players in your squad that, or you're looking to get in, that, you know, you're happy for them to push on.
But that's the way you'd attract. Can I just say that's the way you attract players as well? You're sort of saying, you can do some good for us and you can do some good for yourself as well. Put yourself in the shop window. You know, all these younger players have got loads of potential. You never know where it's going to lead to. they've got to have the right sort of temperament and mentality and commitment, as well as footballing ability. And the higher up the steps you go, the harder that is. So in our case, we've, as I keep on telling David, we've for our away matches, our players leave Penzance at 7:30 in the morning and get home about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. That's a special sort of commitment. It's not just loyalty to the club. It's realizing that's their life. That's what they want to do. And, you know, we off the field, we are in awe of that commitment. And they're not paid a lot. A lot of our money goes on travel.
Yeah.
I think when you said you had three promotions in 5 years, that's unbelievable, firstly. But you are going to become a picking club. Again, you only go from your own experience, and we had it where even though we had players on contract, then contracts were only for the season. So again, if you had to keep them for a season, the following season they've gone. And that's what, again, happened with us. But that's part, like I said, it is football. You know, you can't compete. It is for a lot more money, and it is levels, but I'll be honest with you, most of it was financial. But again, I fully understand it, because it was a significant jump up, and they've all bills to pay. So again, you can't take it personally, but that's what happened. And what you don't want to do is try and compete with that, because you heard earlier, you end up then putting the club in jeopardy. So it's a feather in your cap, and it attracts other players to see where they've pushed on. And hopefully in that time, the club can grow. And
I think it's absolutely vital that we, off the field, don't overly invest in the playing squad to try and buy success, because that same amount of investment needs to go into the stadium, to the facilities, to the access and all those sort of things, because that will improve the stadium and the general environment long after the players have left.
And the thing as well, as you know now, players talk. So if you start giving someone a deal for X amount, if you're in that team, all of a sudden my 30 quid, well, I want 60 quid now, because he's getting, all the players tell each other. I mean, I don't know why, but they all tell each other now everything. And you do have a bit of an issue sometimes with players saying they wanted more money because they hear things. And that's quite right. Unfortunately, in our league last year, money being thrown about in our league was astronomical last year. You just got to let them get on with it. You just got to leave it and walk away from it.
It's funny, Dave, as well, what Tom just said there, because you sort of, you know, you meet your players and you say, look, I'm offering you X amount of money. Look, you know, should stay private. It's between you. But, you know, I can remember signing someone and saying, look, that's what we've got. You know, that's what we've got. Keep it between yourself. And with an hour of signing him, I had seven players texting me going, how comes he's getting that? An hour.
Yeah.
Mad.
I think from our recruitment, you know, the management and the coaching staff, the subject of money is something like the sixth item on the agenda, not the first. It's to do with assessing whether the person really wants to come and do, you know, we've got a daily training program with expert coaches. Is that what they want to come to the club for? Is it that they want to come and play at step four in a sort of a rising club? Is it because they want to come and spend time in a beautiful part of Cornwall or what? And if the first part of the conversation is, I'm only coming if you pay me or whatever it is, and that's the end of the conversation. If that's the first consideration.
Unfortunately, on the other Andrew, hand, and I think, God, sorry, so, unfortunately, Andrew, I think Tom will tell you as well, where we are, sort of your London, Kent, sort of even your sort of Surrey, Essex, is that if you don't, someone else will now. The money thing has taken a major, major step more than you know, there's so many clubs around at these steps now where we are. And you have to try and compete a little bit.
Yeah. And by the way, I will say, I don't blame the players one bit, because as an ex-player, if someone offered me some of the deals that are around, I mean, last season, I couldn't, I've been managing a long, long time. I can't even tell you how many players left last season for better offers. I mean, we had 10 weeks of 7-day approaches, and it was like a revolving door. But I understood why they went. That's the mad thing. I understood. Yeah. They've got a job, yeah. Some of them. Some of them are much... And I fully understood it. But it didn't help us, obviously. But that's life.
Yeah, I think from our point of view, from where we are, there aren't any local clubs who come poaching. It's ones from, you know, further away in, you know, Devon and things like that. But I understand that as well. And if a player is offered three times the money he's getting at Mousel and it pays his mortgage and he's on contract and he gets a holiday paid for example, then you can't blame him, can you?
Of course not.
No. He's got a family and young kids to look after or whatever the reason is. And that's the way it is. You've got to have feet on the ground, I think, and understand that that's how it works. One of our difficulties, as I said a couple of weeks ago, was that we'd love to bring on some of the younger players in our development team, our reserves. But they're currently in a Step 7 league. And the step up from 7 to 4 is like a really, really big step. So we think in the longer term future, getting that development team promoted to Step 6 while we're at Step 4 will be, if I can use the pun, a step in the right direction. So more local younger players will get in the match day squad, have some game time, learn their trade at the higher level. It helps.
So next game up then is Bermondsey Heath Harlequins at the weekend.
Indeed.
I suppose the one question for me, Boxing Day, how far is Exmouth from you?
120. It's a local derby, 120 miles away. Yeah?
Fancy that, Tommy? Local derby on Boxing Day, 120 miles away.
Blimey. I mean, it was bad enough. I think last year we had to go to Sussex Boxing Day, but I don't know why we didn't get Hythe, or so you think that would be the common sense, but I think it was someone like Three Bridges or something like that. But no, I mean, you just got to admire and take your hat off to them. To be doing them journeys every week is unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it works the other way as well, doesn't it? So on New Year's Day, we've got Tavistock coming to us and they're travelling 90 miles each way. So these are our two local derbies, Tavistock, Exmouth. Tavistock, 90 miles away. Hey?
I've just said, Dave, on the 30th, which I know is not it's still Christmas, Phoenix again to Chichester, who play at Bognor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
Just mental stuff, isn't it? Absolutely crazy stuff. Well, listen, guys, the time's flown away. It's literally flown by tonight. I really, really enjoyed tonight. And it's been a fantastic show. And we say a massive thank you to, of course, Little Tom and Up the Arsenal. And hopefully we do really well. And hopefully the young lad, 16-year-old, plays on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whenever it is we're playing next against PSV. But, Tom, we wish you all the very, very best. And we hope that your channel goes from strength to strength, young man. And of course, you're welcome on the show anytime you want to come back on and let us know more about how your channel's going. And be fantastic to see you back at Enfield Town, maybe during the end of the season, maybe if you pop down. And of course, to Andrew, massive thank you for coming on again, Andrew. Great pleasure. Stuff.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully, 3 points in the bag when we speak to you next week. Scary stuff, I know, but hopefully. That'll be the case. And of course, to Big Tom as well. So fantastic having you on, Tom. And hopefully you get a job soon. Well, when you want to get back into it, of course, hopefully you'll get back into it as soon as you can. And if you want to come and join us for our Christmas special next week, Tom, by all means do. Because next week, on our Christmas special, joining me and Keith next week, will be two legends next week. And I think that's the only two words, the only words you can use for these two gentlemen. Coming to join, just been confirmed, literally in a text about 2 minutes ago. Going to join us next week is ex-Premier League referees Keith Hackett and Mark Halsey will come on next week to join us. So if you've got any questions for them, make sure you let me know or let Keith know through the usual channels. And of course, we will try and get them to them next week on our Christmas special. And that's what I'm saying.
That'd be very festive for me and referees.
And of course, if Tom wants to come on and ask anything, mate, you're more than welcome to come back next week, Tom, if you're not doing anything. All I should say is a massive thank you for everybody joining us again tonight. And of course, you come on this show, you get a job. Well, almost. Hey, Keith. But all the best to Mark Stutzman as well. And hopefully he does well up there at Margate. But of course, don't forget the man to my right and on my screen, one of the top managers in the game, still hasn't got a job. What are you clubs thinking about? Give him a call, for crying out loud. Give him a call. But until next week, good night.
Cheerio, everyone.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, gents.